Welcome to the non-Golden Globe-winning Hollywood Outsider Podcast. We're an award-winning weekly... Sorry.
We're a non-Golden Globe award-winning...
We did not win it, but we guessed.
That's great.
We won other awards, but we didn't win the Golden Globes. I guess you got to be Amy Poehler for that kind of nonsense. But we are an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast, and in this episode, 2026 is full of new movies, so let's discuss the ones all of us are excited about this year. It's our 2026 movie preview extravaganza. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow host, Troy Heinrichs.
What's up?
Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
And I gotta say, just so everybody knows, I am out of town, so if I do not sound as, my dulcet tones don't sound as sexy as usual, that's why.
It never did, so they don't have a comparison mark.
Right? Or this, maybe this is the best I've ever sounded, I don't know. Oh my God. Yeah, we didn't win a Golden Globe for best podcast, by the way. We're not even nominated. Can you believe
we
that shit?
I was gonna say, we can't win if we don't get nominated.
That's the first step, I hear, yeah. Disappointing.
So nominate us.
The best part about that entire bit was the actual reading off of the nominations, because she does the whole Nicole Kidman AMC pre-commercial spoof, and I'm like, where is this going? And then she's like, but we could, if the AMC's closed, we can listen to podcasts in our car. And it sounded like she was making fun of the podcast, because it's like, and you got a whole bunch of celebrities that are talking about nothing we care about. And I was
exactly.
Every single one of those podcasts is like the most boring dribble, except for Dax Shepard. And Amy Poehler's is actually pretty decent as well. But like most celebrity podcasts are just fodder that they get paid because they already know the people in the business versus people doing like actual work like us.
And for anybody that doesn't know, the Golden Globes, which aired just not too long ago from when we recorded this, which is, you know, if you listen to this in a month, just flashback. Nikki Glaser was awesome, by the way.
Second time.
She did a, they had a podcast category, and we didn't win.
It only took 20 years for that to happen, though, but it happened.
Remember
podcasting when is here to stay.
Everybody thought we were just lame as hell because we're like, we're doing a podcast. Oh, really? Yeah, no one's going to listen to that nonsense.
Internet dweebs.
Right?
13 years ago, we were paid a handsome ransom in order to do 20-minute TV talk shows.
God, I love that. That was a nice paycheck, too, just randomly. They overpaid us.
I did two, and I'd sometimes three a week.
Yeah, they were like, they need fill-ins, and everybody was like, yeah. Yeah, well, you need a voice, man. I'll talk about it. I've never even seen that show. Let's go. Oh, well. So let's talk about movies. So 2026 has a collection, a plethora, if you will, of titles coming out. And I don't know about you guys, but I am excited about this year. There were so many, I had a hard time whittling my list down.
There's like the massive list of everybody's expectations, right, that we've been seeing for years leading up to 2026. And then there's actually really good ones that people don't even know about, because unless you're going to a South by Southwest or a con or something of that nature, a film festival, like a lot of these are going to be really, really interesting. And I think Neon is going to be the one that's the one to watch this year, because they picked up quite a bit. They're going after that A24 money, because A24 was cleaning up at the Globes.
That's true.
Yeah. That is actually really true. I did notice when I was going through the long roster of really good movies coming out in 2026. Well, ones that we believe will be really good movies.
You never know.
Neon did have a lot of films in there that they were distributing. So I think you're right on target. Let's just see if they match up to that A24 expectation.
That A24 expectation. What is that? It's going to be weird, and there's probably going to be a sheep at some point.
Somebody's getting sacrificed.
It's something.
Well, do you think the Globes are a real award show or not? It's still an award, and A24's name was mentioned quite a bit.
That's true.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
They are consistently taking chances that people say that they want films to take. So don't complain about it. If you want independent original movies, sometimes that's what you get. A24.
Yeah, sometimes you get the Everything Everywhere All at Once, and sometimes you get the weird-ass Nicolas Cage movie that you still have no idea what happened.
You just described, like, every Nicolas Cage movie of the last 15 years.
Yeah.
I think they were all put up by A24.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to go through our top fives, not including movies that are in the most anticipated of, there's like a top 20 most anticipated list. We're going to touch in a little bit, but first we're going to go through our top fives. Or would you rather go through the top 20 first? What do you guys want to, I should ask you, what do you want to do?
I would say, because I think I always get, this gets confusing for the listeners. Sure. Like, these are not my top five. My top five are in the 20. Yeah. Everybody's going to go see these 20. So these are not my top five. These are the five that are after the 20.
These are another five that we have selected outside of that. So we want to give you diversity.
Yourself. All right.
We want to give diversity, right? We want to help you find something that isn't just going to be the big blockbuster that we know everyone's going to go see. So yes, we're going to talk about those really important movies, which I do think we should cover first.
Is this our DEI podcast? Is that what you're telling me?
Shut up. But then we're going to cover some of those smaller films that maybe you haven't heard of or haven't hit your radar, or maybe wouldn't have hit your radar this year because it's just not as prominent as some of those others. So it's a top five of those remaining.
I feel like these are a lot options. Of words to not answer my initial question.
I specifically said we should do the top 20 first.
Let's do the 20 first.
Okay. Then let's do the top 20 first. How about that?
Yeah.
Fine. Now I gotta get to them.
Now you gotta scroll down.
I gotta get
to them. Many movies, we had to scroll 6 pages to get to the list.
Yeah, there's a lot of notes in our format this week.
Because you guys need to know all the information possible about these great films that are coming out.
Well, hey now, I mean, if you don't know when it's coming out, where it's coming out is now one of the most important pieces, right? Because you have theatrical and streaming, and then which 19,000 streaming platforms can you see it on?
Well, it'll come out in the theaters first, and then it'll come out in the streaming services because theaters are alive and well.
Theaters Cinemark's are alive and great. Well. Cinemark.
Cinemark, just celebrate it. Go ahead, Amanda. You go ahead.
No. You're better at facts. I can just tell you anecdotally. They said they had a really great high-producing year.
They had their biggest box office year, Cinemark Theaters did, since 2019, since before the pandemic. So they have bounced back, fellows.
Aaron just wanted to bring this up so that way he could say, I'm right.
Movie
I
theaters
was right.
Aren't dead. Stop saying it. Just because you want a clickbait article doesn't make it so.
It was clickbait enough for the shareholders because Cinemark didn't do anything. There just was really good movies to watch last year.
Yeah. And
Cinemark just happened to show them. So what is wrong with you? Why are you going to be a Debbie Downer? Turn that frown upside down.
There is nothing
that's
in the press release
that
Cinemark,
award, jackass, right there.
Do you know why Cinemark had the best New Year's Eve ever? Because Stranger Things, not because Cinemark had a promotion that or a deal or trying to drive people to the
box
theater.
Office year since 2020 since 2019. That's a whole year. It's not.
I think he's just trying to say Cinemark doesn't deserve the credit. It's the movies that
it's
were coming out that deserve
them.
The credit.
It's about their theater. It's that's nonsense.
It was their press release to try to drive a stock price up. That's all. I'm
Whatever.
Saying.
You're hilarious.
You're that guy. You're that guy that's always clicking on those articles. That's what you are, right there. You're like, I knew it. Everything I
clicked
thought
on
was coming
to
fruition.
My boss told me to click on. He said, read this for the show this week, and I did my job.
Top 20, guys. Top 20.
You want to go? We're going to start with number 20. We're not starting at number one. We're not doing that.
Okay.
I refuse to
do it.
We're
going a backwards way.
Now, this is from a several lists kind of compiled and put together and got an aggregate of the top 20. All right? So here we go. Ready? All right, we'll start. We're just going to go in the order of closest to dates that we can think. So number one, Project Hail Mary, which is based on a book from the Andrew Weir's novel. And it's coming out March 20th, 2026, directed by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, starring Ryan Gosling, Sandra Huller, Lionel Boyce. And it's a science fiction adventure based on that novel, starring Ryan Gosling as Ryland Grace, a lone astronaut waking up on a spacecraft with no memory, tasked with saving Earth from a cosmic catastrophe using ingenuity and compassion. And I will tell you before we talk about this, I post a lot of trailers on the Hollywood Outsider Facebook page. Project Hail Mary is the most popular I can ever remember.
Oh, wow.
People
I mean,
freaking
Ryan Gosling.
Love it. No, not Ryan Gosling. Andy Weir's novel is huge.
Oh.
He wrote The Martian, if you didn't know.
Yeah, this is a big, big property. And if they can get this right, it'll be amazing.
When we
and
say
fact,
no
Ryan
memory,
Gosling
then.
Is here, that's a good thing.
So when we say no memory, Troy, I'm assuming you're familiarized with this. He does remember some things if he's having to deal with a cosmic catastrophe.
Well, probably how to pee. He probably remembers that.
Yeah, it's like where am I? What's going on? And then you like read the computer logs and figure out stuff out. And then he's working with the Rocky the alien and trying to do some stuff. And yeah, it's a fun tale as it goes along.
Interesting. So I mean, it's Ryan Gosling, so I was interested.
We're excited, right? We're excited.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that comes out in March.
Yeah.
March 20th.
March 20th, yep.
The Rip, however, comes out earlier. That's January 16th.
It'll be out when you hear this,
And as Joe Garnahan, which is already amazing, and then you add in Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, and Steven Yeun, and you're like, what the hell is this stuff? And then you find out it's about Miami cops finding stashes of cash leading to a distrust of outsiders, learn about the huge seizure, making them questions on who to rely on. So this is totally a Joe Carnahan type film. I am stoked to see this. It's going to be so
great. It's on Netflix. You'll be able to watch that one on Netflix. Yeah. And I want to stress this. This is a cool fact that I found out. So this is based on a real thing that happens. So whenever a cartel gets busted or whatever, and they go in and seize money, if it's like a large amount, like 20 million, 20, 50 million, whatever the number is, they're the cops that have to guard the money because they have to count it right there on the scene because it's to just make a true accounting to make sure nothing goes missing. Wink, wink, nod, nod. And that's what they basically have to do is they have to stay there, count the money until help arrives. And they obviously are saying, we don't know who to trust in this situation.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't trust anybody. Trust no one.
And I love those two together, obviously, no matter what they do.
Truly. Well, we also have, on that same timeline, 28 years later, The Bone Temple, directed by Nia DaCosta, mm-hmm. a chilling follow-up in the 28 Days Later universe set decades after the outbreak. This horror installment explores how society and infection have evolved, confronting survivors with new terrifying threats. I don't know how many days and years we're going to get out of this franchise, but Jack O'Connell, Ralph is back, and we have Emma Laird, so if you're a fan of them, you're probably just going to continue in this world forever until we maybe get 30 days later.
I just want to point out it's Rafe Fiennes, not Ralph.
Sorry, I always do that with him.
Everybody does. I mean,
I know.
His mom probably does it.
His mom was like, this isn't what I named you. You chose this for yourself.
I don't know why you're so fancy. You got to go by Rafe when your name is Ralph.
That's so funny. Could you imagine?
Is this the one that Cillian Murphy's supposed to be in?
No, they're doing one more. So the deal was with the original, with the 28 years later that came out last summer, that was the first of a trilogy. This is the second. And they said if the first one did well, that they would green light the third movie, which they did green light. And that's the one Cillian Murphy's going to be in, which hasn't shot yet.
Okay, got it. So this is like so in the same time frame as, it's the same time frame as the first 28 years. But it's not the same characters or people from that movie, like in a sequel. This is like a different component.
There's some threads that carry, but I don't want to. If you haven't seen 28 years later, because some people probably still haven't, it's worth the watch. You're probably, at the end, you're going to feel it one way or another about it. That's all I'm going to say. But there's some points that carry over. Yes.
Can I watch 28 years without watching 28 days and 28 weeks?
Yes, you can. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Then we come to Scream 7.
Whoa!
That's right. And no, Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega are not going to be here.
I'm out. But.
I'm out.
Oh, but Neve Campbell will be. So you got
yes!
that.
Nope. I'm out.
Well, hang on.
What? Are you serious?
Hang tight. February 27th, 2026, Kevin Williamson, who wrote the original film that Wes Craven directed. Now he's going to write and direct this one. And in this one, when a new ghost face killer emerges in the town where Sydney Prescott has built a new life, her darkest fears are realized as her daughter becomes the next target. Troy, why are you out?
Because I was excited that we were getting away from the original Woodsboro crew and going to a new group of people and following them in new cities and having this kind of continue on. So it was a way to like keep the franchise fresh. But now we're going back to, it's the same people, but we're going to now do the family lineage side of things because of the way it happened with getting Melissa out of the project and Jenna Ortega following suit. So, yeah, I like that Kevin's back. I like that Nev is back. The two of them working together, this could be great. However, I was really looking forward to it going in a different direction.
I did want to see if she, like, they would let her go full killer. Like, in the sixth movie, Melissa Barrera, I mean, at the end, she is stabbing like she's joined in. Like, she wants to be one of the gang, mm-hmm. you know? She wants to wear that ghost face mask. And I was really hoping they would do it. They would pull the trigger and just let her do it the next time out. But
okay, close your ears if you don't want to know, because this is a completely Troy conspiracy theory thought. What if she was removed from the project because she is the ghost face killer?
Oh, no. You know how cool that would be, though?
Her career was, like, trashed for a while.
No, for sure. For sure. Like, they're not... Yeah. They made this decision, and it's very unfortunate, but I would love for this conspiracy theory to prove true, because I did, to Troy's point, I did like that we were going in a different direction in terms of...
Agreed. Yeah. Something different.
Yeah, just trying to have something fresh. However, the one thing that gives me... The two things that give me hope for the future of this franchise in Scream 7 specifically is Neve Campbell and Kevin Williamson in particular. I'm eager to see how he twists and turns this from where the story was last at.
Yeah, that's the kicker, right? Because they were sure. like on the subway, and then
I liked that New York, like that was a different town. So this is still cool. a different town too.
But Neve did show up in the sixth movie.
She did not.
Neve Campbell did? Yes, she did. Cindy was there.
She was not in the sixth movie. Kitchen. She had a contract dispute in that movie, so that's why she wasn't there. She was not. Courtney Cox was.
Am I thinking of five?
You're thinking of five.
Yeah, I think you are.
Wow. They all run together.
There's been so many of them.
Okay, they totally don't run together. They got different plots. They're all being chased by different people. It is kind of weird that there's this many people copying. You know, someone, there should be like a task force or something already assembled for this, right?
Well, many of the movies,
Hayden
though, there was...
was actually on a task force. Shit, now that I remember that. Yep. God, they do run together.
But there was a lot of interconnectivity, right, in the early films. So it's not like we're just... Like, true. We've had seven full films where it's like, we are not connected at all, but man, we're all after this one lady and all her friends.
I would hate to be Sidney Prescott at this point, though.
You're like, change your name, yeah, change something. Everything about you, and honestly, maybe just move to England.
I would live in a hut somewhere.
Hey, Joe tried to move to England, and that didn't do him any good either. So, you know, for all you fans out there.
Dear God. Your turn, Troy.
Speaking of Netflix, I guess I'm keeping my subscription into March because Peaky Blinders, The Immortal Man... will be coming on March 20th from Tom Harper's direction. Speaking of Cillian Murphy, Rebecca Ferguson, Sammy Jonas Heaney are all going to be there. Feature film continuation of the Peaky Blinders saga sends Tommy Shelby into the global chaos of World War II, blending gritty crime drama with historical stakes.
Full disclosure, I've never seen the show.
Totally worth watching?
Yeah, it's a cool show. It is okay. A cool show. Cillian Murphy, I mean, and Tom Hardy's in... Some of it as well. And it's good.
It's good.
It's cool that they're making a movie and Rebecca Ferguson being in it makes me go, okay, I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Well, April 3rd, 2026, we have the Super Mario Galaxy movie. Excellent. And we can't get sued for that.
Oh,
the next
it sounded nothing like what
the next animated on-screen adaptation of Nintendo's beloved franchise ventures into space with Mario and friends on a cosmic rescue mission, a vibrant adventure for all ages. It's directed by Aaron Horvath and Michael Jelenic, and they're confirmed for the Mario sequels. And the stars are expected to include returning and new talent.
Exciting times.
I love that it's like Fast and the Furious. We're just going to take this in outer space.
I just don't care about this at all. I'd love to, but I just don't. I know there's a lot of game fans that are very happy.
Those games are so good, and they just re-released those games. So it's a proper time for those to be currently showing right around this almost, was it 40th year anniversary?
Yeah. Well, the movie, the first movie was huge. I mean, it was a huge hit.
The first movie was so good.
Oh, good. I hope you...
Peaches for everybody.
Hope you... That... What? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't...
Millions of peaches.
That's awkward. Okay. I do want to know, are we going to get pushback on Chris Pratt's non-accent again?
No, because it's already been out there.
Okay.
Now it's fixed. It's fine.
Well, let's move on.
It was good, so, in the first movie.
You know what's next? The Devil Wears Prada 2 on May 1st, 2026. That's right. She's back. I don't know how or why, but Miranda Priestley is back. And this is directed by David Frankel. Stars Meryl Streep. The great Meryl Streep. Is it Dame Meryl Streep? I don't know. It should be.
Yeah, put some respect on that name.
It's more like Damn Meryl Streep.
Okay, that was good.
That's pretty funny. All right. And it also stars Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, Stanley Tucci. All right. It's a fashionable sequel where Miranda Priestley grapples with the modern media landscape, and Andy Sachs confronts her identity post-runway, blending humor with sharp commentary on reinvention. And the way that I understand it is that it's Miranda coming to grips with the digital revolution. And I think Emily Blunt's character is going to be kind of a foe for her in the new movie.
Oh, I love this.
If Emily Blunt's playing a foe, yeah.
If Emily Blunt is playing cardboard, I'm watching it. So
True. But I mean, exciting to see her as a foe. The villain.
She's that good.
Tons of villains in this one, even though Simon McCoy didn't get the finish him understanding of Mortal Kombat 1. He's back for Mortal Kombat 2.
Okay.
And Carl Urban and a whole bunch of other people are going to be here as well. The martial arts spectacle returns with more legendary fighters, more flashy combat, and the escalating Earthrealm versus Outworld saga fans thrive on.
Finish him. I don't care about anybody in this movie except Carl Urban. I don't.
Truly.
And I think it's great that they made a sequel to Mortal Kombat, and the trailer is just like solely focused on his Johnny Cage. Like, they don't even care about the other characters. They're like, we're made a sequel to Mortal Kombat. People like the first one, right? Yeah, but we didn't have Carl Urban in the first one. Let's just make the whole trailer about Carl Urban then. All right.
Got to fight through everybody to get to the championship.
Oh, man. But he made it look like a different movie, which is a plus in my book. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm stoked for it. I'm actually
excited for this one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm stoked for it.
Well, the one that I'm sure both of you are very excited for comes out May 22nd. Star Wars,
I am.
The Mandalorian and Grogu, directed by Jon Favreau, stars Pedro Pascal as Mando. Grogu, of course, is here for us. Din and Grogu embark on a big screen adventure that expands the post-Empire era, blending familiar characters with new intergalactic threats and allies.
Heard it both ways.
I was like, wow, spoiler alert, they're brothers? What?
You're welcome. Sorry about that.
That would be great.
I love Grogu, and I love Pedro Pascal as Mando, even though I'm a little bit tired of the Star Wars world right now. I still feel like we've gotten too saturated for too long, but I'm down to watch this.
Well, that's been quiet for a bit.
It's been quiet for a bit, but I get what she's saying. I think they had such a long run where it was just like nonstop that it still feels like a lot, even though it hasn't been.
Same with Marvel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I get it. I don't necessarily agree with it. I'm excited for this. I really am. And I would rather it was the Daisy Ridley Jedi Academy movie or whatever she was doing, but this is what we got for the time being, and I prefer Star Wars movies. I haven't really liked any of the TV shows except for the one with the Goonies version, whatever that was.
Skeleton Crew.
Thank you, Skeleton Crew. But this, I know some people have said, well, it was a TV show. I don't want to go see it in the bit. Man, screw that. I want a movie. I want a movie. And I think this will be awesome. And Jon Favreau's directing.
Listen, like the Obi-Wan TV show was 6 half-hour episodes. It was a movie, just broken into small 6 chunks.
And if they would have made a 2-hour movie out of that, it would have been great.
It would have been great. Mm-hmm. Andor still kick-ass, though. So good.
I couldn't get into it. I tried.
Just can't have any more of that, because obviously they spoiled how he dies in Rogue One.
Well,
oh, well.
They did kind of, yeah. Tip their hat a little bit. Yep.
Yeah. All right. That's you, Aaron.
Oh my God. By the power of Grayskull, we have a He-Man.
That's because that's how this property is. We all have Grayskulls.
We do. We have a He-Man movie. Masters of the Universe is coming on June 5th, 2026, and it's going to be theatrical. Amazon picked it up. Actually, Netflix had it and dropped it, and Amazon picked it up, and it's going to hit theaters June 5th, directed by Travis Knight. And stars Nicholas Galzine, Camila Mendez, who I like her. She was in Riverdale. Jared Leto. Frack. Jared Leto.
If Jared Leto's playing Skeletor, I'm out.
Oh, hang on. Idris Elba.
Oh, there he is. Oof.
Idris Elba's playing Skeletor? Because that would be
interesting. Jared Leto's playing Skeletor.
God damn it. I'm out.
Doesn't he leave like a little bit of a in the movies he's in these days?
He puts some stank on it. Yeah. I'm in.
Wait, is Idris Elba the voice of Battle Cat? Because then I'm in.
It could be. Very well could be. But this is a live action reinvention of the classic toy franchise with He-Man battling Skeletor in a cinematic epic full of swordplay, otherworldly visuals, and mythic stakes. I don't care. Just give me that beefed up dude running around with a sword trying to swing it at the, I think it is his like half brother or something, his Skeletor. So go ahead. Take out Jared Leto. I'm cool with it.
And then She-Ra shows up at the final thing to have the second movie get made.
I think Camila Mendez might be She-Ra.
Oh, she can be She-Ra. They have She-Ra in this?
I don't know. I know Camila Mendez is in it. Watch the movie and find out. We should probably have, if we were a award-winning podcast, you'd think we would know for sure.
I don't know, because Netflix dropped it. I lost all the news. I had to wait for Amazon to come back and resurrect it.
Let me see here. Hang on. Give it a second. Let's find out.
For those that are uneducated, it's basically a wimpy guy picks up a giant sword and then becomes like freaking Dolph Lundgren in his biceps and muscular. And
she's Tila. She's playing Tila.
Tila.
Yep.
Okay.
And Morena Baccarin is the sorceress, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'll give this a shot. It's by the director of Paranorman, and I mean he's done some stuff. Bumblebee. He did Bumblebee. That's what it was. Bumblebee.
Bumblebee's good. Bumblebee's one of the better Transformers.
But. He was a producer on Paranorman. Yeah, no, Bumblebee. That's a solid film. And that is something I didn't think would work either. So let's give him a chance. You know what I mean?
And it's in Bumblebee, Transformers in this time era where Master of the Universe was popular. So yeah.
Did you have He-Man dolls?
I had Grayskull. I had the Skeletor's thing. I had the action figures. I had Battle Cat. Hell yeah, dude.
You sound like you were rich growing up.
No doubt, right? I had like three of them, but like one had the arm of the other one, and then one had a leg from one of my buddies had. So
like, he found them in a drain. He's like, this will do.
I was putting the action figures, slapping them together.
It's called garage sale, man. You got to go to the garage sale.
Okay. All right.
Or you got to run out of the store really fast. You know what I'm saying? Why not a rider gets it?
That $5 discount or five finger discount.
Well, speaking of the 80s eras, a great director from that time period was Steven Spielberg.
Absolutely.
And Steven Spielberg is back June 12th with Disclosure Day, which is going to star Josh O'Connor, Colin Firth, Coleman Domingo, and Emily Blunt again. Mm. It's another year for Emily.
Stacked cast.
A thought-provoking sci-fi drama explores humanity's first undisputed contact with extraterrestrial life, focusing on global reaction and ethical dilemmas.
Undisputed contact?
Steven, we already met E.T., in case you forgot.
Nobody's going to... that's funny.
Dude, you're on one today. I love it.
Oh, my God. I love how it's called Disclosure Day. It's like Independence Day for smart people.
Stop.
No. It's because of the Area 51 thing. This is when we disclose that we've known about aliens the whole time.
I get it. I mean, God damn it. What? You get to have a joke and we just laugh. We don't have to dissect it. We just let it play. Why don't you let mine play?
He has a good joke and then he's like, let me tell you the real of where this came from.
Well, this is coming out June 12th. Again, like he said, I can't wait to see Spielberg get back to like Close Encounters type sci-fi. And
hell yeah,
I'm all in. I'm all over this. I am going to be there. I'm so excited.
Just in time for your birthday.
I know.
Well, shortly after my birthday is Toy Story 5 coming out June 19th, 2026, directed by Andrew Stanton and McKenna Harris. We've got Woody, Buzz, and the gang who are facing modern challenges as new tech and emotional shifts redefine playtime and purpose in this heartfelt Pixar chapter. We've got Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, and Greta Lee. I actually really like the concept around this. I'm of the group where it was like Toy Story should have ended before when it was perfect, but here we are, and I continue to watch them So I think at least with Tom Hanks and Tim Allen involved, it should turn up to be good. And I think this will tug on all of our heartstrings.
You can't do it unless it's Tom Hanks and Tim Allen.
Well, I mean, yeah, no. These
you shouldn't. Boys. You should not.
You should not.
You no. shall not pass.
And definitely don't AI them or something to keep this going to Toy Story 14 either.
They're going to. They're going to figure out something. I have no interest in this one.
I am a huge Toy Story fan, and I was on the Amanda camp at the end of 3, because the end of 3 was, oh my,
perfect.
It was like the perfect ending to a perfect trilogy.
Perfect.
The claw, everything about it was so great. So good. And then I just was like, you know what? It's okay. It's the end of the Andy trilogy. I am here for the Bonnie trilogy, because toys live forever and get handed to other kids. Mm. And I like that idea that they can move it along to other people. So, but Bonnie's getting an iPad, so watch out.
God.
But no, it's like, I know this is going to hurt my soul because of that. Because we're going to see Woody and Buzz all depressed because nobody wants to pay attention to them. It's like if your dog was sad because you never paid attention to it. That just hurts you.
Poor dog.
I totally understand now why my dog didn't like me when I got a Tamagotchi thing.
Oh, my God.
Well, I don't... Three was the perfect ending, like you talked about. I've never seen 4. I don't need anymore. Wow. I'm done.
It's good.
I'm done.
Four is good.
I'm sure it is good. I'm good without it.
I cried.
I don't need to cry. It got me. All right.
I didn't want to, but it got me.
He's a man. He's a real man. He doesn't cry.
I cry all the time. Mostly when Troy's telling jokes. This tonight he's on a fire. Who knew? All right. The next one is Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. This is my docudrama that I wrote about.
Oh my God!
Sorry, no. Superwoman.
I did not know you were transitioning.
Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, and it's really none of your business either, is it?
You're right. Actually,
it isn't.
Shouldn't have assumed your gender.
Yeah, June 26, 2026, directed by Craig Gillespie. Good director, man. He did what was it? With Emma Stone, DeVille, Cruella DeVille, that one.
Cruella.
But stars Millie Elcock, Matthias Schoenaerts, Jason Momoa, and Emily Beecham. It's a bold DCU entry following, they wrote that, not me, following Supergirl on a vengeful cosmic quest, combining action, darker themes, and family drama as she discovers her place in the universe. The trailer is solid. It does look like Guardians of the Galaxy with her in the lead, but I will say Millie Alcock, she has a commanding of the screen that's immediate. I really think if the movie follows suit with how she appears in the trailer, and I've seen her in House of the Dragon, I thought she did the same thing there. She just has a way to captivate and grab you right off the bat.
The name didn't connect with me right away, but now I know exactly who it is. And I'm like, I think she would be. I think I'm interested now. I wasn't interested before.
Not that interested if you didn't know who it was.
Jeez. Well, you know what, dude? My brain is slowing down.
She hasn't been in a lot. She's been in House of the Dragon and not much else.
Also, is Craig the director who did did he do I, Tonya? Is he part of that?
I don't know. Why don't you look?
Well, because you're the encyclopedia.
Okay, maybe.
If I want to Google a question about movies and TVs, I just ask Aaron.
You should Google it before you ask the question. How about that?
I mean, that would be faster, don't you think?
I mean, technically I did, but I was just confirming that it was accurate.
Yeah, it's accurate, but we did a Inspired by a True Story on that episode. On the if you want to go listen to that.
Well, there's
the iTanya thing. Damn, I'm going to go listen to that one. That sounds
good. It was actually pretty good. It was pretty good. All right, next one.
Well, I saw the line at the edge of the sea, and we crossed the line.
Oh, my God.
Moana live action is coming July 10th.
Okay, I didn't even understand that one, so that's not
good. Really?
Great. No.
Oh, no, I understood it. It was an, oh, my God, nope. Troy. See?
Now he's got to try all the time. Instead of, like, just riding the high and just, like, waiting for the moment.
For every two good ones, there's 10 stinkers, okay?
I mean, you said it.
You don't throw them at the wall, you don't know what sticks.
Disagree.
Moana live action will probably do fine. Dwayne Johnson's here.
It's gonna like make everything this
summer.
Gonna
hit a record.
It's gonna get like $3 billion.
The problem is that it's too soon to the original coming out, and like Moana 2 was just out last year.
I don't disagree.
So you need to give some time and space between these options, and not just this is 100% cash grab, and that's why I kind of am miffed about it because it's reimagining the animated classic. Blending the rich Pacific Island culture with new music, which is the thing that automatically makes me go, eh, and grounded storytelling because the music was fine. Why do you need... Did you see How to Train Your Dragon? It was fine. You just do the same movie again. It's great.
I actually don't like that Dwayne Johnson is playing Maui.
No, I do not.
I think he's going to be a little distracting because we all know who he is. And
yes,
I'm telling you from seeing the Smashing Machine, even though he did a great job in that movie, which the movie is not great, but he was great in it. And there's a moment where he doesn't have hair anymore and he looks, there's nothing that can stop you from going, that's The Rock. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that'll,
it's like putting Will Smith in as the genie in the Aladdin live action. There's nothing that stops you from saying it's Will Smith. You never see the genie the entire movie.
It's true. Although I did like the movie, but I like Will Smith at the time before he started smacking people.
Right. But it'll be great.
I still will probably see it because I love Moana and every family is going to go see it. The thing is like, it's going to make $1 billion. It's already made $1 billion. It hasn't even come out yet. Like that's how guaranteed it is.
Yeah. Catherine will do great in the role. I think she's got a great voice. I'm nervous about new music. And then they nominated those freaking Wicked songs for the song at the Globes. I was like, what crack are we smoking?
Apparently not the good enough kind. The Odyssey is coming out July 17th, directed by the Christopher Nolan.
Hans Zimmer.
Starring Matt Damon, Anne Hathaway, Tom Holland, Robert Pattinson, Zendaya. Nolan's epic adaptation of Homer's classic follows Odysseus's perilous decade-long journey home after the Trojan War. Stunning visuals and ensemble performances highlight this mythic quest. Normally, I would probably not be that interested just because of the time period, but you have Christopher Nolan, you have this cast, you have this war setting, right, that I think Christopher Nolan does an excellent job of getting into. Yeah, so
some of it war. I mean, it's really, it's like I don't know if you ever.
It's the Lord of the Rings.
It's a quest.
I don't know if I don't know if you ever read The Odyssey, but it's like a 10-year, quest. It's a quest to get home. So he runs, there's a little bit of, remind me here, Troy, there's a little bit of Clash of the Titans action too, right? Because it's like mythical along the way as well.
For sure.
And the composer's Ludwig Göransson, so it's not actually Hans Zimmer, but I bet it still sounds like Hans Zimmer.
What?
It'll still sound like it. All of Nolan's movies sound like that.
Put your subtitles on.
For real, because we're going to have like splashing waves over music, over birds. You're not going to hear anything that people are saying.
And I'm liking the look of it. I saw that... you know, Matt Damon, he got down to his high school weight. I mean, he looks lean and muscular. So, I mean, he's putting his best Russell Crowe on there with that beard, too. So, it could be phenomenal.
Honestly, even Tenet, like, there hasn't been much that Christopher Nolan's done wrong.
Yep, that is true.
This is true. This is, yeah.
Like, Christopher Nolan is like the Spielberg of this millennium, if you will.
I don't know about that. I know a lot of people make that comparison. I don't feel like he makes a lot of more serious. He makes more serious films. I think Spielberg's bread and butter is that he could make things that the entire family would enjoy for years and years and years. I think Christopher Nolan makes films that are drive people out, and yes, as families as well. But they're always more of a serious nature. They're deeper, a little darker. Spielberg always came across as light and interested more in the heart than Nolan is.
But from understanding like film and like,
oh, for sure. Filming, from a technical standpoint, absolutely. I mean, he probably understands
crafting the story, crafting the movie film
more than Spielberg, honestly.
Maybe.
To answer your question, Aaron, Robert Pattinson is playing the villain suitor, Antinous, the ringleader who's trying to marry Penelope while Odysseus is away. And then Matt is playing Odysseus. Zendaya is playing Athena.
Ooh. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm in. Mm-mm-mm. Okay, so on July 31st, you know, there
don't sound so sad.
There used to be a time when I hear Spider-Man and I just get ecstatic. It's my favorite comic book hero. If you didn't know, I'm hoping Uncle Ben shows up. I don't know if they've allowed him into the lot yet for Marvel, but there is an Uncle Ben wandering somewhere.
Multiverse.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
He has a multiverse parking spot.
Well, if he's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, he has dementia. He's just wandering around because he's never shown up in any of these. But whatever. So this is Spider-Man Brand New Day. Comes out July 31st. Directed by Destin Daniel Cretton, who did Shang-Chi. And stars Tom Holland. Zendaya is back. Jacob Batalon is back. Sadie Sink is in here from Stranger
Love
Things,
that.
Max. And Peter Parker starts fresh in a new chapter of personal stakes, old friends, and new adversaries, redefining what it means to be Spider-Man. The thing that I am getting excited about is at the end of the last film, it finally was starting to be the Spider-Man that I love. And what I mean by that, for anybody that doesn't know, is I couldn't stand the Tony Stark of it all. It was Iron Spider. It wasn't my Spider-Man, the whole three movies that he had, up until the end of the last film. So as the film ended, if you remember, he lost his memory, or everyone around him lost their memories. They don't remember him. And so he doesn't have anything either. He doesn't have access to Tony Stark because they don't remember him anymore, right? And so now he's just basically back to basics, and the poor trying to make it, you know, guy that's just trying to get through life, Peter Parker that I know and love, is finally there. Now, if they hold to that, I am stoked for what's next. What do you guys say?
I'm just curious to see how this all plays into the doomsday of it all. If it
it'll connect, I think, but I don't think it'll be a direct connection.
I would be surprised if it didn't somehow, some way, but am I still going to watch this? Absolutely. Am I still trepidatious? Yeah. I just worry about, even with this, oversaturation.
Mm-hmm.
Of Spider-Man?
No such thing.
Yeah, dude.
But
in the last like 25 years, we've had three different iterations of it. Just
That's
in
fine.
Live action, not to mention the animation, all of the different spin-offs. Like, that's a lot.
You also had like same number of Superman movies in that same amount of time,
again,
too.
And that's
no one's
why
complaining
I get
about that.
Bored of them. I'm just saying from my perspective.
That's why you love horror, right? That's why you love horror.
Yeah, variety.
All right, what's next since we don't want to talk about Spider-Man anymore? You know what? I would love just a tag at the end, or a stinger, sorry, at the end of the movie where you just see some random old guy walking around the Marvel lot.
Stop.
Stanley plays Uncle Ben.
Oh my God, you guys are so wrong for that. But that's kind of amazing.
I'm sure they own his digital likeness. Do it! He's wearing a name tag that says Uncle Ben. All right, go ahead.
Just a black
it's
screen.
It's a blockbuster.
In memory of Uncle Ben.
Oh my God.
At the end of the credits.
All right, who's up?
Well, Anne Hathaway has got another one coming out this summer, August 14th, with co-star Ewan McGregor. From David Robert Mitchell, it's called Flowervale Street. Mm. It's a retro sci-fi mystery set in idyllic 1980s suburbia where reality blurs and hidden horrors emerge, blending psychological tension with nostalgic vibes.
Love this.
I do love this. This is a really cool idea.
I'm all over it.
Original.
All over it.
Original. Although it does kind of sound a lot like Stranger Things when you read it. So. Mm.
Kinda.
We'll find
kinda.
Out.
Kinda. Maybe a little Stephen King Dark Tower-ish a little bit.
Hey, I did hear. Did you see Mike Flanagan when was talking about some work that he's
been
doing?
Don't know.
Don't know.
He said he's got some scripts written. No. Until I see a trailer, until there's a studio behind it, until the
for
like,
what?
As a date release.
For Dark Tower.
I am not
Dark
believing
Tower.
There are any Dark Tower newses. I don't care.
Oh.
Okay.
I appreciate Flanagan. I really hope it comes to fruition for him because he's the right guy to do it. But I am not believing anything because I've been down this road before.
God, man. You want a hug?
I was going to say, this might have emotionally, psychologically affected you.
Because the movie was terrible. The movie was so bad.
I actually liked the movie, but I didn't read the books. I'm like, this isn't bad. This is like a bad movie.
Samesies.
It's a good, bad movie. I dig it.
I've taken the movie and I have put it in its own era because it takes place after the books in its own timeline.
You want the books universe. To come to life.
I want the books, especially book four, which is what I hope they're doing for the TV series, because that's TV series gold right there.
Okay.
You do a lot with book four.
Sorry, we took a side track.
But anyway, Flowervale Street, August 14th.
Sense and Sensibility is coming out this September, although odd date choice. Maybe I'm just the only one still sensitive to this, but September 11th, 2026, Sense and Sensibility comes out.
It's not owned by one event. Like, we can move on.
No, but it's just a little weird. I don't know, man. But it's directed by Georgia Oakley. We've got Daisy Edgar Jones and Katriana Balfe. Apologize, madam. A fresh adaptation of Jane Austen's beloved novel. This version promises to balance period drama with modern emotional clarity and romantic insight. Sisters Eleanor and Marianne Dashwood must leave their Sussex estate and move in with a distant relative facing romance and money troubles. Is this Bridgerton?
No, it's more prim and proper.
Yes, it's very
prim and proper Bridgerton. Then?
Bridgerton is more of a ripoff of this.
I know, but this is, it just sounds, yeah.
This would be if Downton Abbey and Bridgerton had a baby.
Yeah, there you go.
This is
potentially was the grandmother classic. Because they both owe their stuff to this. This is
classic. Either way, yeah, I'm interested in seeing it. I know we've had iterations in the past, but
it's been 30 years since the last one, though. It's been a long time, like since
that's
the
a good
last
point.
Movie.
Yeah. It that's what I'm thinking too, is it doesn't feel like this is, we're getting a lot of older novels that are getting refreshes, you know, where maybe you've had iterations over time, but now it seems like we're in like a book revival era for film, which I'm here for.
That's because they're about to hit public domain, and so they have to make something to keep it out of
it's
the wiki
true.
And
maybe
gosh, yours problem. You think so cynically, but I mean, or are you wrong? No, but
or it is public domain, so that's why they can just make another one. Either way.
Or that. Yeah. Any hooser, it sounds interesting to see how we're going to modernize it. I'm curious about that.
I like Daisy Edgar Jones a lot. She's great. And yeah, so I'll watch it. I will probably watch it. I won't enjoy it, but I will watch it because...
Oh my gosh, don't put that negativity on it already. You haven't even seen it.
I know the novel.
It is not an Aaron movie.
No, I know the novel.
At all.
No.
At all. But he's going to go on September 11th.
No, I won't. I was just trying to be nice. I wish him luck.
Actually, he won't. He'll go on September 10th because he'll go on Thursday night.
There you go.
I probably will not go at all is really what's going to happen. Because I have Sense and Sensibility to see something else. All right, so moving on. God. Moving on to is my turn, The Hunger Games, Sunrise on the Reapin', November 20th, 2026. I don't care, but we're getting another one. Francis Lawrence... is back to direct another Hunger Games movie, and this one is a prequel that delves into the origin story of Haymitch Abernathy, exploring trauma, rebellion, and the game's brutal beginnings in Panem. So it revisits that world, and it's 24 years after or before the events of the actual Hunger Games we know, the first movie, starting on the morning of the reaping of the 50th Hunger Games, known as that second quarter quell. And I will tell you, this stars Joseph Zada as... Haymitch, and then McKenna Grace, who, man, she has got a career that is on fire right now. And also, guess who's coming back? Jennifer Lawrence, Josh Hutcherson. They're going to show up to some level. Yes, they are. Plus, Rafe Fiennes.
Rafe!
Jesse Plemons, Glenn Close, Elle Fanning, and Maya Hawke. This has
oh my
a
goodness.
Cast, kids.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh. I guess I have to go watch the other prequels now.
I didn't want to see it. Now I want to see it. I hate this.
I am all not right. watching that, right. that one that just came out. I don't really care about that, but I might go watch this one. Okay.
Well, the one everybody's been waiting
for.
Here
we go. Let's go. Let's roll. Come on.
December 18th, this Christmas, they're all coming back for the Russo brothers, Joe and Anthony. I'm so excited. Doomsday, Avengers Doomsday. We understand now potentially why Robert Downey Jr. was cast as Doom.
Why?
Because he's from another timeline.
Well, I mean, I think people assumed that already, didn't they?
Yeah. Then we got a teaser trailer to find out that Steve Rogers is back. And then we got another teaser trailer that Thor is back. But then we got the best teaser trailer ever. The 2000s X-Men are back. At least... Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, and James Marsden reprising their roles as Professor X, Charles Xavier, Magneto, and Cyclops. And I'm so excited.
This is going to be one hell of a Christmas.
I think I watched that teaser trailer like 10 times in 2 minutes. Just replay. The minute that wheelchair rolls across the floor, I was like,
this sounds great, though. This, as much as I feel like I was in the saturation world, this does get me excited for something new with the Avengers world.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. If we can get Mr. Jackman to show up, because, you know, the Wolverine from the other multiverse is now here. Like,
he's going to be here.
Bring him back.
He's going to be here. And they just haven't shown it yet because they're just waiting to start priming people. But a couple things. One, I love that they said that this is going to be a sequel to The Last Avengers as opposed to the collection of the other movies, because I think that would be harder for people to get into. I really do, because I think a lot of people don't care about this latest phase. So that's a way to get people back into it. I don't like that they're bringing back Chris Evans. As much as I love his cap, really? I love his ending. I love it.
Is he coming back, though?
We don't know. I actually wonder.
Because the teaser trailer only said Steve Rogers was coming back, and you never saw him. You saw Hemsworth and Stewart and McClellan.
I don't
Marsden
think you're going to see him as Cap. I think there's a better opportunity for them to have Haley Atwell as Captain Britain or whatever it is come into the fold or something. Let her do some action.
Britannia?
Yeah, whatever it is. Let her come into the fold, and Steve Rogers stays home with the kid. Then I would be into it. I'd be like, okay, cool. I just don't want to do anything. I don't think it's cool to take away from Anthony Mackie. I think that's whether you like him or not. And I don't love his Captain America. I don't. It's okay. But I just don't believe that it'd be cool for him to take away. And I don't think Chris Evans would. So I think it's actually kind of a misdirect. I think you're going to see something a little bit more down to earth with Steve Rogers. I don't think he's going to actually pick up a shield, or at least he's not going to be calling himself Captain America. I don't think so. But
you can see him in a cameo. I mean, that could all be all it is. It's just a cameo.
They just show the suit. They don't show him in the suit. And Correct. He's holding his baby. So he might be like Mr. Mom, hanging out while Mom's out kicking some ass, which would be nice for her. Haley Atwell's awesome.
Very possible. You're really still mad about that cancellation of that show.
I liked Agent Carter. Yeah. Yep. But no, mostly, I think, number one, Tony Stark got a great ending. I like Cap's ending better. I think it just was perfect. Don't mess that up. That's all I'm asking.
Well, it sounds like he messed up a lot of things, and people are pissed off about it.
Well, Marvel's messed up a lot of stuff.
They're coming.
And what's funny is I'm going to segue to, I know this is kind of jumping ahead to an honorable mention, whatever, but this is worth mentioning because it's the exact same day. As of right now, the same day, Dune Part 3 is coming out, because I don't think it's on either of your lists, correct?
I didn't know there was a Dune Part 3.
There you go.
It was only supposed to be two.
There you go. Dune Part 3.
I just saw it, but yeah, it was not on my list. I assumed it was in the top 20, to be honest with you.
It's not, but I think it's because a lot of people don't know that it's coming out yet.
Yeah.
But so this chapter draws heavily from the second book in the series, Dune Messiah, which revolves around a religious jihad that helps Paul maintain his reign, yet spirals out of his control. So remember, like, at the end of the second movie, you could tell he was getting drunk with power. And that's where we're at with this. So, you know, brace yourself for a lot of spectacle and a lot more going on. And Zendaya, Josh Brolin, Rebecca Ferguson, Florence Pugh, Jason Momoa comes back. Anya Taylor-Joy is here. They're all back. Robert Pattinson is in an unnamed character in this movie. And it's Denis Villeneuve's final portion of Dune. I'm sure that they're going to do Children of Dune and that sort of thing. But he's not going to be part of it. This is his final film. But I bring all that up because we just talked about Avengers Doomsday, planning for the same day. Currently, this feels like the exact same audience to me. Am I wrong?
It's bold. It's bold to do that on the same day for sure.
Which one do you think moves?
Yes, but not fully the same audience. It's like Dune is like the hardcore geek nerd culture. You know, Marvel has got the kids. The kids are going to go see Marvel. They're not going to go see Dune.
Could this end up being a Barbenheimer situation?
Like, Dune's Day.
Dune's Day.
I love that.
Trademark right now. Copyright.
I'm sure somebody's made that joke already.
No, you got it. You stole it. You have it.
Yeah. But as of right now, that's what it's looking like. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong.
That's what I wonder what will happen. I think they might both be successful.
They have such long legs that people don't understand. Because when Avatar 3 was coming out, it only did 90, you know, it did a lot less than Way of Water or whatever. So it only did like 90 million or something. And people are freaking out. Well, it's not going to be a big hit. Man, pay attention to how Christmas works, because if it opens even remotely strong, the legs through Christmas, during Christmas, every day is like a weekend. So it does mega box office. So it, you know, and right now I think they're at like 1.4 or 5 billion worldwide for Avatar. So, I mean, it carries. Now, both of these movies, I don't know. I got a feeling one would take away from the other at some point. I don't see them both being massive hits if they do this.
Unfortunately, this is why we don't have a Golden Globe, because we are 3 days late to coining Doomsday.
Dang it.
We're not 3 days late. No, here's the thing. It's not late if I haven't heard it. Okay, so no, it's not late. Just, it's the internet. You're not going to
beat the
internet.
Also, you don't know when we recorded this.
Yeah.
The AI already has it. I already Googled it. It's in there.
Because you just gave it to them. And AI stole it from us.
I'm going to edit all this out. That never happened. That's what is great about podcasting, is I can make it all go away if I want to. I won't, because I'm not afraid of it. Because I will say, it doesn't count if I never heard it before. It's my joke. Look, I made it.
Look, the only reason Barbenheimer worked was because Barbie was a little bit shorter than Oppenheimer was. I don't know if I can do Dune and Doomsday in the same day. That's a long day.
I can do it. I don't really care much about Dune, though. So
that's like going to be, it's going to be like 6 hours.
I'll be fine.
That's a weekend double feature. Just do it on a Saturday.
And over Christmas break, I mean, you've got like, you know, a lot of people have time off. They can hit two movies. Sure.
I got to pee.
Get that A-list for a month, man.
Then do two different days. You've got the time.
One of us has to do it, though. That's the thing. Nobody said they were going to do the Barbenheimer. I took the bullet. I did the Barbenheimer.
I'll do a Doomsday. I'll do it.
All right. I'll
do a Doomsday with you. I'll do it with you.
Okay. I'll do it. Let's do it together.
I don't live near you guys, so I'll do it remotely.
Fly in. Get a plane ticket.
It's Christmas. It's Christmas holiday weekend. Come see the people.
Fly in for Doomsday. Can you imagine if she bought a plane ticket to come see some stupid double feature at a theater? That would be awesome.
You know I probably would, though.
Yeah, that would
and
be cool.
End up being the worst movies in the entire franchise.
Could you imagine? They're just absolutely terrible.
They just bring Steve Rogers back to kill him.
They bring Uncle Ben in to kill him somehow, some way.
At least he'd be there. At least he'd be there.
God. Dementia Uncle Ben.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's go to our top five. That was the top 20. Now let's go to our personal, what's left the top five that we found, other movies that we want to recommend.
You don't transition as well. Like,
why don't you do it then, bitch? Come on.
If you loved everything you just heard in the last hour, we got more movies coming up for you. 15 more
yet.
You
sound like a
salesman.
To go to
that top 20. But first, we want to remind you that if you love this show,
oh my God,
you should really head over to Patreon. That's patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Where just $5 gets you a whole bunch of bonus content, so you can listen to us even more than this two-hour podcast you're listening to right now. That's Patreon, patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Support us in 2026, because we got lots of movies to see to tell you about.
Thanks for listening to WTHO.
Now here's Jim Croce with Earth, Wind, and Fire.
See, his broadcast roots are coming out. He's like, I'm ready to do voice commercials.
Why don't we do more? All right, who wants to go first? Who wants to do their top five first?
Now here's Aaron with our first five of the other movies you should be seeing in 2026.
You're so weird. All right. My first one is Send Help, which hits theaters January 30th. This would be in my top five.
That seems like a great transition for me, apparently.
What's that?
Send me help. Send help to me.
I'm sending you therapy. So this is about Dylan O'Brien is an a-hole boss to end all a-hole bosses. He's a corporate bro who thinks nothing about humiliating his employees. And if you watch the trailer, he's really mean to Rachel McAdams, who, shame on anyone who treats her like not the goddess of Jesus. But she is a frumpy junior VP who's often the target of his mockery. Then there's a plane accident during a business trip. It strands both of them on a desert island. However, her surprising facility as a survivalist reverses the power dynamic and essentially turns this castaway situation into a horror movie scenario filled with carnage. There is a Red Band trailer available. I highly recommend it because Rachel McAdams is messing people up left and right. Mm-hmm. So it's no less than the great Sam Raimi that is directing this bad boy. Evil Dead.
This is well explained because I was like, there's like a boss romance comedy thing going on here. And then you were like, and then she kills everyone.
Things. I don't know if she kills people, but she's killing things necessary to survive. Put it that way. And she is bloody.
She's a survivor. She ain't going to give up.
It's so. Listen. Beyonce.
This was on my top five list regardless as well because, I mean, first and foremost, Sam Raimi. But I love how this very, I guess, normal situation where people probably can't stand their boss at times, as I hear from others. And so putting them on a desert island and then the power dynamic, like you said, switches up and then you have the option to murder? This sounds really interesting. It reminds me of, oh man, there was that film not too long ago that they made about this workplace murder situation. Like the violence broke out. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
The one that James Gunn was behind?
Great question. Can't recall. I even wrote a review on it. Anyhow, I love these concepts that take like something that is just normal, commonplace, and then puts it into the extremism horror situation.
The Belko experiment.
Belko experiment. Yes. That's the
one. Yep. Got it. Good movie.
Yeah, it was.
I like anything where you get to have a little fun and Rachel McAdams is there. So
I'm stuck on this whole desert island. It's an island. How is it a desert?
There's a desert on it. Why do you do this? Why?
Is it a deserted island? A desert island? Okay. Anyway.
They have a lot of snacks there. They have a whole line of cheesecake on the island. That's what it is. It's a dessert. Not even desert. It's dessert island.
That would make more sense because it's a horror movie. Like dessert just dropped in from the sky.
Crumble is just falling from the sky into people's hands.
Okay, so now we move on to my most anticipated of the whole year. I don't care about top 20. This is my most anticipated. I want to see this
must
more.
Must be a Tarantino film.
It's The Adventures of Cliff Booth. It's coming to Netflix. There's no date yet. Yes, it's Tarantino wrote it. He wrote a sequel to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but he's not directing it because he's too busy being retired. David Fincher actually directed. This is a rare occasion where he allowed someone else to direct his script. He hasn't done that in many, many years. And this is like a favor to Brad Pitt. So Brad Pitt loves the script and Tarantino was going to do it and then decided not to because he wants to do his original 10th film. We'll see if that ever even happens. And so Pitt asked him, can Fincher do it? And because Tarantino loves David Fincher, he gave the okay. And it's because Tarantino does not want to make a Netflix movie. Like it's nothing he would allow otherwise, but here it comes. And we don't know exactly what it is, but it's set in the 70s, centers around Brad Pitt's stuntman, Cliff Booth. And there's going to be obviously connections to that film, except the way I understand it, Leonardo DiCaprio will not be in this at all. So
I am really excited for this. You have Tarantino writing it. You have David Fincher that's directing it. Mm-hmm. You have Brad Pitt starring in it as the stuntman Cliff Booth. It just sounds like it's going to be an incredible time.
It's going to be awesome.
Not at the movie theater. On your couch.
I bet you. Netflix will do a limited
release. 100%.
Like they do with
Awards Knives Out. Season.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Definitely. Yep.
So is there a rumor about when it might come out? I know the date hasn't been announced.
No date, but I think it's either going to be summer or it's going to be award season. It'll be one of the two.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Next is Obsession on May 15th. And there's a short trailer if you want to find it, but it really just shows one scene from the movie. My God, it just got me excited. It's writer-director Curry Barker's debut feature. And he's a he does like TikToks and things like that. I've seen some of his stuff. He's very funny. I think it's Not a Bright Idea is the name, their channel. Like, I can't remember for sure, but they do a lot of just weird stuff. And it's a spin on the old, you know, when you wish upon a monkey's paw chestnut. A boy is head over heels for a girl, worried that he's stuck in the friend zone. He buys an item at a curio shop that will apparently make his dream of true love come true. It works not just wisely. It just works too well. Way, way, way too well. So Barker takes his time with the windup, which only makes the eventual shift into high gear that much of a jolt. So think of it. So this guy's obsessed about this girl, right? That's the way you think the movie's going. But then he makes a wish that she loves him, and then her love is real. So she can't not love him. You know what I mean? So it's a twisted
movie. Yeah, I saw this episode
movie.
On Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Stop.
I did.
Fair enough.
I did.
But the trailer is really cool because he's on the phone basically calling customer service for this wish. And he's just like, is it real? Just because you wish for it doesn't make it not real. And you could tell he's kind of terrified. And I'm in. I don't even need to know anything else.
I wasn't in until you told me this. Now I'm going to go watch the trailer because now I might be in.
That's funny.
That's funny.
Oh, it's cool. Looks cool. Nothing, Troy? Does nothing for you?
Not for me.
Okay. Clayface, September 11th, another September 11th movie. And this is what I'm seeing, honestly, instead of Sense of Sensibility. Because Mike Flanagan wrote this. He yes. wrote it. He's not directing it, but he wrote it. He pitched DC Studios head James Gunn and Peter Safran this horror-centric tale involving an actor who can turn his body into a shape-shifting clay. And bam, now it's the big fall movie for DCEU. Unfortunately, because of conflicts, he couldn't direct it. So James Watkins, who did Speak No Evil, is directing this.
Okay.
And also, yeah, wow. I think he probably tweaked the script a little bit. But it stars Tom Rhys Harries as Clayface and Naomi Ackie as a scientist that helped transform him. So I'm in.
What a
I dig concept. It. Something different for DCEU.
Yeah, truly. It's such an interesting concept for sure. I'm curious to see how this goes, especially with the translation of writing. I'm curious also on the back end what things James Watkins would be modifying from what Flanagan originally wrote. Not that we would see it, but I'm just curious behind the
curious.
Scenes.
Yep. Okay, now I got one more. Digger, October 2nd. Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu, who directed Birdman and The Revenant. He directs this dark comedy that takes its title from Tom Cruise's character's name, Digger Rockwell, who's known as the most powerful man in the world. And what it's about is that Rockwell causes some sort of catastrophe and he has to try to make things right again before something akin to Armageddon occurs. And also here for this one is Jesse Plemons, Sandra Hüller, Riz Ahmed, John Goodman, and Emma Darcy. I just want to know... or what the movie is, because there's a teaser trailer for it and you can't tell anything about it, but it looks like Tom Cruise having fun and he's doing something different. This looks like a comedy. This looks like something that I just based on the teaser shows you nothing. And I feel like I got to see this movie because it looks like it's going to be one of those weird Tom Cruise performances a la Tropic Thunder.
Oh, interesting.
As long as it's a weird Tropic Thunder and not a weird Vanilla Sky.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, Vanilla Sky.
That's something.
Jesse Plemons, though. John Goodman. I like the cast that's in here a lot as well. I mean, Alejandro. I'm curious how he'll do with more comedy, though.
I just hope it's better than The Revenant, because I'm one of the few people that didn't think Revenant was that great. So
yeah.
Maybe if Revenant was a comedy, it would have been better.
Maybe.
Hang on. Make that movie a comedy in your head. I don't know.
Cocaine
like,
bear.
You get Bolt, a teddy bear attacks him, Ted attacks him, like Ted the talking teddy bear attacks him. He's like, ooh, Leo DiCaprio. All right, now I'm laughing.
And have him accidentally just rip into, not cocaine this time, but let's go just weed gummies. And then add that in. Now you have some additional comedy. You're
like
welcome.
Ted is on weed gummies and he's hugging
Shrooms.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio is a mushroom farmer.
And it was all a misunderstanding. because he didn't realize.
He's a mushroom farmer? Is that what he said?
Yeah, he's a mushroom farmer. He's growing a special brand of mushrooms, and the bear gets into the mushrooms. And
see? Look at this. It was all just a misunderstanding.
They have fur babies? What's going on with this thing? It's a rom-com all of a sudden.
Who knows?
Okay. All right, Amanda, your list is up.
All right. So my first one comes out March 6th in theaters. It's called The Bride! ! In 1930s Chicago, groundbreaking scientist Dr. Euphronius brings a murdered young woman back to life to be a companion for Frankenstein's monster. What happens next is beyond what either of them could have ever imagined. It's directed by Maggie Gyllenhaal. It's starring Jesse Buckley, Christian Bale, Peter Skarsgård, and Jake Gyllenhaal. Penelope Cruz is also in this. It's supposed to be an alternative take to, you know, this Frankenstein world. We've seen a lot of these variations and ties to this world. So I'm very curious to see, especially, you know, set in 1930s Chicago, will probably have a very noir feel to it.
Or it'll just be depressing.
It could also be that. Let's hope for the better. I mean, I have more faith in Maggie Gyllenhaal than that.
I don't like the trailer a lot, but I will say Jake Gyllenhaal, obviously, love him. And Jesse Buckley is a phenomenal actress. So this could be amazing if done right. I'll give it a chance. Mm-hmm. Put it that way.
It's got Christian Bale. Don't forget about Christian Bale.
Right?
I mean, it's a movie called The Bride. I care more about Jesse Buckley.
True.
There. Normal is also coming to theaters April 17th. An unassuming substitute sheriff finds his peaceful new life in the town of Normal, disrupted by a bank robbery that reveals a deep criminal conspiracy. It's directed by Ben Wheatley, written by Derek Kolstadt, who is the creator of John Wick, starring Bob Odenkirk, Lena Headey, and Henry Winkler. Do I need to say more?
Bob, they are not giving up on trying to make him an action hero, are they?
Dude, that's really why not. I'm here. That's why I'm in it.
It's funny. I'll totally watch it. I'll totally watch it. I mean, I like the Nobody movies. They're fun. And, you know, I hope Henry Winkler is a badass villain. That's all I'm hoping for.
I hope so, too. Yep.
Give him something cool to do.
All right, well, we have Hokum, which is coming to theaters May 1st. A horror novelist visits an inn in Ireland to spread his parents' ashes without knowing the place is rumored to be haunted. It's directed by Damien McCarthy, and it stars Adam Scott. I'm curious to see how emotionally expansive Adam Scott's performance will be, because I would imagine that with, you know, just losing his parents and now he's dealing with a haunting in Ireland, and also, you know, the hauntings in Ireland are real, so it'd be very interesting if they actually filmed it out there and captured some real stuff, but only you will know when you go to the theaters.
Adam Scott, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's an interesting idea, and I love those calm, atmospheric, slow burn kind of horror movies. So, okay. I'm in. I'm interested. Well,
and the weirdness factor of it, right, with Adam Scott and what he did with season two of Severance. I think this is a really good casting for this kind of concept. I think it fits.
Yeah, and this goes back to your call earlier about Neon, because this is a Neon film, by the way.
Okay.
I was going to say, it felt like A24, but yeah, so now it's
close enough.
Replace.
So, I Love Boosters is coming May 22nd. A crew of female boosters.
Oh,
AKA shoplifters.
Shoplifters, okay.
Thieves.
Got it.
Who target a ruthless fashion maven, leading to an unintended revolution against the industry. It's directed by Boots Riley. All I care about. It stars Kiki Palmer.
Amen.
It has Naomi Ackie, Lakeith Stanfield, and Demi Moore. All right, I'm in.
Why are you yelling at us?
Because I just want you to know I'm excited. Okay. I think this is going to be hysterical.
I love booster shots, too. I think it's important to stay vaccinated. You know, and just keep, you know, flu season stuff.
Save your cards, guys.
I'm waiting for the double show in here for I Love Mandalorian and Grogu's boosters.
There you go. All right.
Because there's no way this thing is going to make money that weekend with the Star Wars movie coming out.
Over Your Dead Body is coming out. The date's undetermined.
This dysfunctional looks
fun. Married couple.
Yeah.
Retreats to a secluded cabin to repair their relationship, but each secretly plots to murder the other. It's directed by Jorma Taccone. It's starring Timothy Olyphant and Samara Weaving and Juliette Lewis.
Oh, my.
And
but
Jason
also
Siegel.
Samara Weaving and Timothy Olyphant.
No, I think it's Jason Siegel.
And Jason?
Yeah, I think Jason Siegel and Samara Weaving are the couple, though, I think.
Well, I don't care. I just know that Timothy Olyphant's in it, so.
Okay. Fair enough.
I have priorities in my cast list, okay?
Okay. Got it. Sorry. It's a cool idea.
Yeah. And I mean, it sounds, I think it's interesting that they put that straightforwardly out there, that you go in as an audience member knowing that they're secretly plotting to murder the other. So I think that'll make it a bit more comedic in tone.
Sounds fun.
A couple of honorable mentions. One is It Ends, which premiered at South by Southwest in 2025. That was picked up by Neon. I don't even know how to explain it to you, other than these people are trying to find their way through a situation that seems to be endless. So they get trapped on what seems like this highway that is infinite, and there's all these terrors that happen around it. So I saw it at South by Southwest. It was very interesting. I was surprised by how tense they were able to keep it because of being so confined in location of this vehicle. But something to check out for sure. And then we have a new Resident Evil that is coming out September 18th. From the weapons director, Zach Cregger, is going into the Resident Evil franchise. Sounds more like it's going to be less like a reboot and more like some sort of an expansion. And he's saying that it's set in the same universe as the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's going to stick to the same rules as those RPGs and first-person shooters, but it's going to follow a new character, which is played by Cregger's longtime actor-in-residence, Austin Abrams. And they're going to be going through mutants, creepazoids, other bioorganic weapons, and he's calling it a love letter to the games.
So it sounds like it's going to be shot in first-person as well.
I don't think so. I don't think it's shot in first-person. But I do think he's talked about this for a long time, Zach Cregger, and this is like his dream project, apparently. So it's not going to be like Mila Jovovich movies, I don't think at all. I think it's going to be more like the slow burn of the games, which is probably a lot more intense.
And just what the video game lovers want to see, too.
Yeah, just not you. You want Mila Jovovich back.
I like both. All right. I like it all. But okay. I do love Mila Jovovich. And then Verity, which is coming out October 2nd, because I know neither of you are going to mention this. Colleen Hoover, and by all accounts.
I want to get sued.
Stop! I want this. She is such a successful author, and she is beloved by her fans, dude. She really deserves this moment in time. Please do not let this end in any type of lawsuit.
Okay.
It's called Verity. It's about a young woman who's played by Dakota Johnson that's hired to finish the best-selling series of a popular author played by Anne Hathaway.
Is she in everything this year? Jesus.
Doesn't she have children?
Take a break, man.
After the latter is waylaid by an accident. The more this ghostwriter dives into her employer's history, however, the more it seems like her condition was not due to an accident. And so this is a novel from 2018 that she did. It's psychological thriller, and very excited to see how this comes out. And gosh, please, for the love of God, be nice to this woman.
I hope Blake Lively has a cameo.
She's not getting hired, but Colleen Hoover's like, I'm not going with either of you ever again.
I'm sure she's not. Absolutely.
It's written into the contract.
I would
imagine. You can only use my property.
I'll go see it, though. I actually think, you know, sometimes I think Dakota Johnson gets a unfair rap. I
agree.
I think she's actually very a very interesting actress. She's very charming, and she makes me laugh. Like, I just think she has a very subtle charisma about her, and I just love her charm. So
all right, well, those are my tops.
Nice list.
Yep, very good list.
When an Army veteran and struggling father turns to robbing McDonald's by cutting holes in their roofs, you get Roof Man. And you can get this heartfelt caper with a twist of romance starring Channing Tatum and Kirsten Dunst, now available at participating retailers from Paramount Pictures. Well, Ready or Not Two, here I come. Can we talk about this for a second, marketing team?
Yes.
Okay. The colon, here I come, is all you needed. You didn't need the two. It ruins the joke.
Agreed.
Yep.
Agreed.
Worst decision ever, but it's fine. Now, Ready or Not, the first one, it was not my kind of movie. The only reason I watched the original Ready or Not was because Samara Weaving was in it. I'll admit it. Was Ready or Not a top tier movie? No, not at all. Was it fun, bonkers, and quirky as hell? Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the ending is so over the top. I am so shocked that they're making a part two, but they are, because we're going to pick up right where we left off. The only challenge this time is that can Weaving's character Grace survive another round of hide and seek against multiple families now vying for the fortune versus just the one, including her own family member who comes in as her sister, joining the game, played by none other than Next Gen Scream Queen herself, Catherine Newton. Also rounding out the stellar cast is Hello Frodo, Elijah Wood, Slay This, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Too Cool for School, Sean Hatosi, and Exterminate These Zombie Vamps, Kevin Durant.
Oh, dear.
So this is going to be a star-studded cast. It's going to be exciting. Cannot wait.
Wow. Well, Catherine Newton's her sister, and they're like, she's trying to keep her alive. So she's not like, the way you phrase that is like she's one of the
You
fans.
Don't know.
No, there I do know. I saw the trailer. She definitely.
Trust no one.
Well, I guess that's true.
Trust no one.
Fair enough.
I thought the movie was going to end a certain way, and then boom, twist.
I do love like watching the trailer. I'm like, how are they going to make this work? And then the plot, I will say, the plot is like, it's ridiculous. It's like, whatever. For the second
yep.
one with all these families.
Yes,
and
it
I
is.
Don't care. I don't care. I'm going to watch the hell out of it. I'm going to watch the hell out of it.
Couldn't
shoot
agree
them up,
more.
Kill them, all the different ways they can die. Absolutely. I'm so in. That comes to theaters March 27th.
Oh, can't wait.
This one will be out this year, hopefully, thanks to Neon. But it's called Exit 8. So picture this. You get off the train in the subway and walk down the hallway to the exit. You see the same garbage can, the same advertising on the wall. You take a left. You see the same musician, the same maintenance door. Oh, shoot. Was that the same maintenance door? Was that the maintenance door that was there before? Do I keep walking or did I take a wrong turn? Yes, that is the concept of this movie, directed by Genki Kawamura, and stars our lost commuter, Kazunari Ninomiya. And that person is going to basically navigate a labyrinth, because if you make 8 correct turns in this hallway, you'll find the exit. So it's really going to go and dive deep into the psychological aspect, the turmoil, the, oh my gosh, am I seeing things? Am I not seeing things? Did I memorize the path correctly? And just go into that emotional breakdown you have as a commuter trying to escape the subway.
That's going to be hard to make. Well, I'm sure that there's more to
it. Reminds me of Severance.
Maybe.
I mean, they made the long walk, so they can make the 8 turns, I guess.
They got to make them
interesting. It's called Exit 8. Okay. That'll be coming later this year.
Okay.
Then Aaron Sorkin returns to the world of social media in a new movie called The Social Reckoning, which will be out on October 9th. Now, this is not part 2 of his previous work, The Social Network. This time, it's going to focus actually on Frances Haugen, the product manager and whistleblower of the metaverse. So this is going to star Mikey Madison as Haugen and Jeremy Strong as Zuckerberg, and then Jeremy Allen White as the Wall Street Reporter, Jeff Horowitz. So definitely want to check this one out because it could be interesting given the state of things.
I still think it's weird that Jesse Eisenberg isn't playing Zuckerberg again, but I'll still see it. So
that is weird.
Yeah, it'll be good. Then we have Remain. We'll be coming to theaters October 23rd. Now, the book is already dropped. We talked about this, that M. Night Shyamalan and Nicholas Sparks were teaming up for a little bit of a duo. So the Sparks book is out. Now the Shyamalan movie is here. For this potboiler about an architect, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, mourning the death of a family member, he decides to take his mind off of things by designing a house in Cape Cod for his closest friend. While there, he meets a young woman, Fairplay's Phoebe Denevor, who throws a monkey wrench into his attempts at mental and emotional stability. Will there be a last-minute twist? will this be the movie that's just a movie and not have some Shyamalan things going on with it? It'll be different than the book, probably. So don't even trust the book when you go check this out this fall, October 23rd, when you see Remain.
I'm very excited for this. I just love the idea of Nicholas Sparks and M. Night Shyamalan teaming up. I'm like, the love guy and the murder mystery, you know, mythical elements guy. I want that combination. I do.
I'm very curious about it. I love the concept of how they created this too. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting how they collaborated to come up with this.
I think it's very cool. And they like have the same idea, but they each, one's writing a screenplay, one's writing a book, and they're going to take mm-hmm. different paths. So you're going to get something different either way. And I think that's great because it's the one thing about an adaptation, right, is you usually get the same rough story. So you might get a completely different story this way.
And you probably will.
I hope so. That's the whole point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my last one, not to be outdone by the Star Wars universe or the Avengers verse or the DC verse or the Scream verse.
Or Doomsday.
Or Doomsday, apparently. But this one, this is the one that I've been waiting for people to make forever. And I am so, so excited that Greta Gerwig is the one that dipped her toes and took that Barbie money. And she's going to make the most fantastic Narnia story ever. It's going to be so good. For those that don't know, there are 7 books in the Chronicles of Narnia series. This is actually the 6th book published, but is actually the first book in the timeline of the Narnia saga. It is called The Magician's Nephew. And this is a story about magic rings. This is a story about magic pools of water that open up fantastic realms for the mind of young English children that'll travel between them. But what one person finds in such a world may not be meant to be brought into other worlds. And so you get to see how Narnia began and the origins of the wardrobe this holiday season with Daniel Craig, Emma Mackey, Carey Mulligan, and Dennis Gu star in this Greta Gerwig masterpiece. It's going to be great. It's coming to theaters in IMAX for Thanksgiving weekend, November 26th, and then later we'll drop on Netflix on Christmas Day. So you can watch it with the family, as you should,
or
for Narnia.
Denise Gu, either way. But I...
Whatever.
I did not know this. I did not know the 6th book was actually the first chronologically. I did not know that.
Yes, this is... It's a fantastical story. The reason why it was not published first is because C.S. Lewis felt like the second book, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, was more exciting, more gripping, more telling, more along the lines of what Tolkien was doing at the time, because they were, you know, live together. So it had more action adventure. People would get into the series and be able to publish more books. But this is the book that really explains, where did Aslan come from? Why does the realm? Where is the White Witch? All those initial questions you have about Narnia, how the wardrobe was made, how it all works. This is all explained in The Magician's Nephew. And it's really, really a touching story.
I am excited for this now. I wasn't before. I didn't really get into the other Narnia movies, but I could get into that.
I'm going to give it a go.
Okay. Well, I've got a couple honorable mentions I want to get before we head out of here. Nate Bargatze is a comedian who's kind of been on the up and up for the last 2 years, probably 2-3 years. You know, he's been on Saturday Night Live, and his stand-up tours have been phenomenal. I actually saw him in concert, and he does a great show. He does clean comedy, but it's still very, very funny. And in The Breadwinner, on March 13th, he's finally going to get his own movie. It sounds very much like Mr. Mom, but he's an everyday dude who becomes a stay-at-home dad when his wife, who's played by Mandy Moore, this is us, starts her own business. And he becomes a guy who has to learn on the job. So it's very much that, you know, that whole mix of this guy who's never really taken over, and now he's in charge and he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And also you've got Will Forte, Camille Nanjiani, and there's a Colin Jost is in here. You've got some Saturday Night Live alum as well. The trailer is very funny. I mean, it's kind of what you expect, but this is the kind of movie where families are going to go out and laugh, you know? And I think that's going to be a great time. And I can't wait to see it. I'm serious. The guy is genuinely a very nice guy. He seems like a very genuine, kind person. And, you don't want to meet your heroes kind of thing. So maybe he's a douche in real life, but he seems like the nicest guy. So I'm rooting for him. and so funny. He's just so funny.
He's hilarious. And Kumail Nanjiani, excited for that. Will Forte. It'll be interesting. It should be good.
Kumail Nanjiani, his stand-up special on Hulu is really worth a listen to. Got some great bits on there, and he really dives into mental health. I really recommend it. Also, February 20th is How to Make a Killing. And the description is, when he was a wee lad, Beckett Redfellow was told by his mother, yes, he was indeed related to the rich and famous Redfellow family. Think the Rockefellers, meet the Murdochs, only wealthier. But mom had been disowned by her kin when she became pregnant with him, and that's why he grew up poor. Nonetheless, the boy would be seventh in line to inherit the family fortune. Seventh, I say. Fast forward a few decades, and let's just say the now adult Beckett, who's played by Glenn Powell, would like to hurry up the process by any means necessary. Killing is in the title for a reason, people. Margaret Qualley, Ed Harris, Topher Grace, Zach Woods, and Bill Camp all co-star and are probably going to be murdered.
I am excited for this one. I think, first of all, it's just wild, but very interested in seeing this. Also, the timing of it being right around Valentine's Day, I think it's always funny when you have those.
I do too. Then April 26th is Michael.
That was embarrassing.
That's not do that ever again.
It's the worst Michael Jackson impression.
Are you okay, Aaron?
No.
Aaron, are you okay?
It sounded like okay, maybe Aaron? You were having a stroke.
Stop
instead.
Annie,
you okay? Aaron, you okay? You okay, Aaron? God,
stop it. Beat it. The other spinning music biopic wheel has finally landed on Michael Jackson. That's right. We're getting a Michael Jackson biopic from Antoine Fuqua. It looks back at the King of Pop and it has a share of friction and a lot of other behind-the-scenes drama. Casting Jafar Jackson to play his uncle, Michael, has been one of the few aspects of this project that hasn't caused controversy. And both the Jackson estate and those with legal agreements regarding what can and can't be depicted in the film have had their issues. So just know when you go in, yes, it's a Michael Jackson biopic. It's, or biopic, however you see it. But you're likely not going to see much about certain allegations, is what I would assume, because the Jackson estate is very involved. But I still...
Yeah, it'll focus on the music and the career.
Yeah.
They will. Yeah. The King of Pop. That's what they're going to focus on. And
yeah,
it's Michael Jackson. I think you decide if I go, I kind of want to see the Michael Jackson story. I really do. I'd love to see how he became who he became. And lastly is Werewolf, December 25th. I love a werewolf movie. Robert Eggers, I can take or leave. He did Nosferatu, if you don't remember, but he's also done a lot of weird movies. But he digs into the mythology around lycanthropes. The writer-director hasn't said much about this movie, but it's about a werewolf terrorizing a medieval town, and he has confessed that it's the darkest thing I've ever written by far. So... there you go. It's got Aaron Taylor Johnson, Lily Rose Depp, Willem Dafoe. Sounds like the same cast from Nosferatu. He just like picked up and said, meet me here. And also Ralph Ineson will help people carry this out. I will watch any werewolf movie, and Robert Eggers knows how to do atmosphere. It's just sometimes he can get a little wonky with his stories. But yeah. And that's coming next Christmas around Dunes Day.
Well, that's gonna have some challenges at the theaters comparatively to those others that are out there. But hey, I mean, it still has a lot of legs on it.
People like adult fare too. I mean, The Housemaid just did bonkers business. All right, we've got a couple minutes. You want to wrap this up a little bit? So let's talk about what you've been watching. Anything that's worth noting? And I bet we want to talk about His and Hers. Do we not?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
That's on my list.
I'll just give you a quick synopsis. It opens with...
watch it. That's it.
Good luck.
Just watch it.
It's on Netflix. Period. It stars John Bernthal and Tessa Thompson. And it opens with a woman that's been found murdered on top of a car in the middle of the woods. John Bernthal's a detective working on the case. And his estranged wife is a reporter, who's Tessa Thompson, that shows up to cover it. Now, as you go... to the story, six episodes, it gets more involved. There's a few twists, a few turns, and oh my God. So how do you want to talk about this show without ruining what is cool about this show? Either of you.
I don't think you can talk about it because the the great thing about this is it's a limited series, one and done. The episodes are short, 40 minutes, easy peasy. Some were 30 minutes, 33 minutes. So literally it's like a four and a half hour movie. I'll just say Tessa Thompson was great. She's usually great in most things she does, but she's like really good in this. I think the back and forth between the police department and trying to figure out like who's actually running the case and who's following the stuff adds to the complexity of the story. Do you trust your partner? Do you not trust your partner kind of thing? The family dynamic and the whole concept between, it takes place in Georgia, right? So it's Atlanta. And then there's like this,
smaller town outside of Georgia. Yeah. Outside of Atlanta. Yeah.
And then, there's like an affluential part by a lake that takes place. So it's like a haves and have nots kind of plays into this a little bit. Really, it was riveting the entire time.
I think all of us maybe caught like a little thing here or there, but all of us were shocked or surprised by at least one twist or turn.
Yes, that's a good way to say it. Yeah.
I'm not even going to say anything because Aaron will say I spilled it. I'm not saying nothing.
You will.
I'm not saying nothing.
You have kind of that psychological confusion that I think all of the detectives would have in this situation too, where you're trying to you're trying to gather all the puzzle pieces and then make them fit together. And some things are just, it seems like they fit and then they don't fit. And then it's, where's the story going? But you also tap into, which I think was really cool, on top of this murder mystery, right? You're tapping into the emotional impact of being a parent, of grief, mm-hmm. of grief and loss in general. There's, you know, some things in here that are pretty heavy. You really start to talk through, you know, the impact of having any life circumstance happen to the rest of your life, like how that changes and unravels every other piece in your life. There's just, it's very multifaceted, the relationship marriage dynamic and all of these different components that they've entangled into the story. And it's not just one of those like quippy murder mystery type of shows. It truly is like more of a detective-ish type of murder mystery. And you're learning pieces through other people as they're learning pieces.
Yeah, I like, there's a lot of red herrings that some are important and some are not.
Oh, God, that's, you know? Yeah.
And one, there's two things I want to mention. One, I love John Bernthal. I love John Bernthal. But I have this thing in my head where I like do a, almost, I wouldn't call it a drinking game because I'd be dead. But I have a thing in my head where I keep track of his yas. He's one of these guys, like he has a natural tick where when he's talking to someone, mm-hmm. he's just like, hey, let's go do that thing later, yeah? Let's go do that thing later. Yeah. Let's go. Hey, how about that? We're all good here, right? Yeah. We're all good. Yeah. He says, yeah, a lot. And so, like, I love counting him in every episode of anything he does or any movie because it's just something that he naturally does with his acting style. It's pretty funny. I'm waiting to see if he does it in the Odyssey because it won't fit there. and the other thing is that, and he's great in this, by the way, you know, his character runs through the gamut and there's a lot going on with his character, but I want to say with Tessa Thompson, okay, I think this is her best performance I've ever seen her give. And
yeah.
A big reason for that is because as you're watching the show, you kind of get a feel for, a lot of the characters, but hers is very elusive. I would say very mysterious in many ways. Like there are certain scenes where she is both intimidating, threatening, and innocent all in the same scene. Like, I just think she does a wonderful job of just playing the full dichotomy of an intricate character who's really going through something, like has a lot going through them. And it really, really impressed me because I haven't seen her give that kind of performance before. And it was just really multifaceted, I thought. And once you do finish it, I'm not going to tell you anything about that, but rewatch the last two episodes and they hit different. That's all I'm going to say.
So different.
Yeah. I did do that on your recommendation.
Did it hit different?
I was like, ooh. Yeah. I think there are, and I'm not going to say anything about it. I think there were two things where I wondered how it made sense. But other than that,
yeah.
Seamless.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. But that's all I'm going to say. It definitely well worth it. His and Hers on Netflix. Check it out. It's definitely worth it. Anything else?
We all saw The Pit.
I haven't seen
season 2 premiere.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, dang.
He did not.
Everybody's back. I'll tell you that. They do a little Grey's Anatomy and they add a few new people. So not loving that quite yet. But it looks like it'll be an interesting go for the first couple hours. Some small things were dropped on a porch step. That's the big one.
Okay. I'm going to check it out. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah. I think that was dropping on Thursday nights.
Yeah, it comes out Thursday.
It'll go weekly on Thursdays, HBO Max.
I'll give you a recommendation for a show I don't think is great, but I'm enjoying it. So whatever that means. It's on Prime. The first two seasons are on Prime. It's like a CBC, and I think it airs on the CW as well. So it's a Canadian show. But it's Wild Cards, and it's about this con woman who ends up teaming with this cop, and they basically solve crimes, and it's very much like a Castle or one of those mysteries. And she is adorably charming. Her name is Vanessa Morgan. She was on Riverdale, actually, for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know who you're talking about.
And the actor is Giacomo Giannotti. And it's a very light, fluffy, you can have it on in the background kind of show. It's the kind of thing you watch before bed. You know, it just puts a smile on your face. She makes me smile. She's just so funny and says all the wrong things, and she's delightful. And they have a nice, easy chemistry. He's an okay actor, but she is enigmatic. She's great. So I'm really enjoying it. And it's on Prime. Like I said, the first two seasons are on Prime. So it's worth a watch. I thought it was worth a watch.
Add it to the list.
Okay. Well, that's a long list.
I don't want to mention this because I'm torn about it based on what I've seen so far. But there is new Star Trek that has dropped in the Starfleet Academy. And that is taking place in the Discovery timeline in the 31st century. I believe that's how we would say that. Yeah. Way in the future. So they're re-resurrecting Star Trek, Starfleet after the burn and the results of the Discovery TV show. So this is going to be about the Academy itself. And I saw a trailer and it CW'd the shit out of it. And I was like, no, this is not my Star Trek. No, no, no. So I will watch the first episode. I will report back.
Okay. So you haven't watched it?
I'm not. It does. Yeah. It just dropped. I've just seen the trailers. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. So I'm gonna watch it. I'll probably watch the second episode, and then I'll give you my thoughts in a few.
You teasing it? Like why would you mention something you haven't even seen it?
Because it dropped on January 15th. So, but while you're listening to this, it has dropped. It is here. Check it out.
So you can all subconsciously remember, like, feel that Troy is watching this. That's what you can do. You can be like, I'm fairly certain right now as I listen to this podcast, Troy, this non-award-winning but also award-winning podcast, Troy watching Star Trek Fleet Academy.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm just saying, right now I'm saying I want to hate it so much, and I'm hoping I'm wrong.
Okay.
I'll come back and let you know.
You know, I really haven't watched too much Star Trek. I know more about Star Trek because my niece is named after a character than anything. It's crazy.
Who are they named after?
Kira.
Well, if you didn't enjoy this 2 hours of fun, come back next week for 5 hours of fun because there's 700 scripted shows coming out that we got to cover to tell you about that's dropping in 2026. That'll happen next week. So come back for more.
Hey, we need to get out of here. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. And remember, the next time you head to a theater or stream comfortably on your couch, this is going to be a year packed with movies. Buy frickin' popcorn, which you can do at AMC. They have a popcorn pass. They have a popcorn pass. It's like $30, and that popcorn is half off for the rest of the year. You pay for it in 6 outings. Or I think it's Cinemark. Speaking of, you can bring any bucket in, and they're going to fill it for $5. Popcorn.
Germs.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
Mmm.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Bye.